Take your Bibles with me this morning, and we'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the even-numbered verses. And let's stand together as we read. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, out of the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, and that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the portion of Scripture this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would use it to speak to our hearts today as we hear the preaching of your word. We do thank you, Lord, for your word and its power in our lives. And Lord, we just ask that you help us to heed that which you have for us today, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts as we hear the preaching today. Be with Pastor as he brings a message to us this morning. And Lord, we pray if there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me, and he will keep me till the end, the rock of my salvation. On Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. when darkness hides my Savior's face. I rest on His unchanging grace. When faith is weak and doubt is strong, I still lift up salvation's song. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me and He will keep me till the end, the rock of my salvation. On Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, faultless to stand before the throne. But salvation's song, my hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me and He will keep me till the end, the rock of my salvation. On Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Mark. I appreciate that. And that is all our hope is in Jesus. Amen. And He came, He's coming again. What a wonderful day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I'll look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace. He'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Our hope is Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. I appreciate that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, if you would, please, in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And let's read this passage once again this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or to know, to wit, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a rich this verse this is, folks. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I have a half a notion just to preach on that verse this morning, but that's not my text. Isn't that wonderful? For your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul mentioned this. Now, it's not mentioned in the Gospels. None of the Gospel writers recorded Jesus saying this. Paul did. Apparently, Jesus said it to him. And he says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. These verses seem contradictory to the natural perception. One would think, if I give something away, I won't have it anymore. The paradox is that the opposite is true. Giving does bring gain. This morning I want to speak on being enriched by giving. Be enriched by giving. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless your word as it goes forth this morning. We have no great ideals of our own to share. Philosophies of men come and go, but we have your eternal word that gives us guidance for today's living. I pray that you'd bless it as it goes forth. May the Holy Spirit fill me and empower me and minister to our hearts. And Lord, if there is anybody here that's not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may they come to trust Jesus who paid for their salvation. Bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Being enriched by giving. Being enriched by giving. We actually gain by giving. That seems weird, doesn't it? We actually gain by giving. And according to this passage of Scripture that we've read this morning, we're supposed to enrich our lives by adding to it the grace of giving. In our passage today, the Apostle Paul was encouraging the people of Corinth to enrich their lives in ways that they had not yet done so. They abounded in faith, we read. If you read in verse number 7, they abounded in faith and in utterance and in knowledge and in diligence and love. And then he said, see that you abound in this grace also. And so they already were abounding in faith, or their belief was firm. They believed, they had conviction based upon the word of God that they'd heard. They trusted the Lord and had conviction in their soul about their beliefs. There's a lot of wishy-washy Christians that could add faith to themselves. Amen? But they didn't. They had faith. And they also had utterance. They were able to speak forth the things that God had said. There's too many silent Christians. And these people at Corinth were verbal about their faith. They had been enriched in utterance. And that's something that we need. God's people who are not afraid to speak up about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, in the situations that you're in, the people that you're with, speak up for Christ. Don't be ashamed. The only Bible some people will ever read is your life, and the only voice of God they'll hear is yours telling them the need of salvation. So speak up for Christ, would you please? And they were enriched already by utterance and by knowledge. They were learning things of God. They were growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, one of the great things for a Christian is to advance in the knowledge of his belief. Not just what he believes, but knowing what he believes. That's why we have Sunday school and morning service and evening service and Wednesday Bible study, so that God's people can grow in knowledge. It's a shame that people in cults get indoctrinated about the tenets of their supposed faith, and God's people are ignorant oftentimes of what we believe. And so here the Corinthian people were being praised for their knowledge. They were learning the things that were of God and from God's word. And I encourage you to do so. And he said also in all diligence, they were applying what they were learning. A truth that's not lived is useless. And they were applying what they were learning. We can be puffed up with knowledge and say, boy, I know this. But God is looking for people to live what he's allowed them to come to know. And we're accountable for that. To whom much is given, much shall be what? Required. And so, but they were abounding in diligence, applying the truth that they knew. And also in their love toward the apostles. They were showing their love for them. And certainly, what a wonderful thing when Christians demonstrate the love of God. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. The most recognizable distinction of true Christians following the Lord Jesus Christ is that hallmark of loving the brethren, loving one another. And so Paul said, you have that, you folks at Corinth. Now, what we have a tendency to do is say, you know, if I'm running 80%, I'm doing good, right? If I'm running 90% of what I ought to be, I'm doing good, and we'll settle there. But God does not want us to settle. We're to add to our faith. We're to constantly be adding. We encourage you to read through the Bible every year because you're to add to your Christian life. And we hear preaching sometimes some of the same things that we've heard. It's pretty hard not to be repetitious in some ways. And we hear some of the things that we've heard before, but it's so that we will be adding to our lives or re-adding something that we've left off. I find that's often the case, that Christians have added certain things and then kind of dropped them aside. And so we don't want to settle. Here they had several things that were good, but Paul said, I want you to add this. In fact, if you notice there in verse number 6, the Bible says, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. So Titus had come and he had worked, taught them, and he'd begun to teach them this grace in this passage that is dealt with. And he says, we have desired that he would finish in you. You know, that's what preaching's about. It's helping to finish us, to put some polish on the old pews, right? Or to sand down the rough edges, to decorate our lives, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're learning the word of God to add more things, making us more usable. So the Apostle Paul, in this passage of Scripture, writing to the Corinthian people, said, I know that you are many things that you ought to be. But there's something that you're lacking that you need to be. And if you gain this thing, you will gain by it. And it was the grace of giving. They needed to be enriched by adding the grace of giving. Now, Paul used an example here of other Christians as a starting point for their addition. You know, it's kind of a delicate format when we use someone's good example as a lesson for others to emulate. Sometimes it rubs people the wrong way, you know, especially parents. I wish you were like so-and-so's kid. Please don't say that. You don't see them at home. You don't see them when the parents try to wake them up, right? And, you know, we husbands and wives shouldn't say, boy, I wish you were like this person or this person. You shouldn't say, I wish our pastor was like other pastors, amen. Please give me a break on that. They comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And so, you know, sometimes it can rub us the wrong way if someone says, you know, I really want you to be like this. But this wasn't the way that this was presented. The Apostle Paul presents the example of some other Christians as not as a discouragement. He presents the example of other people as an encouragement for them to follow. And if you would notice here, the Macedonian example in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches, plural, of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it there? For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. And then in verse 6, he said, he would finish in you the same grace also. Paul sets forward here to the church at Corinth, the churches of Macedonia, the Macedonian example. The Macedonian people had set an example of giving in many ways that the Apostle Paul wanted the church at Corinth to add to their repertoire of Christian living. The Macedonian people had set an example in several ways concerning their giving. Let's look at it momentarily. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. I remind you that we are bought with a price. We are not our own. In reality, we are not even owners of ourselves to give ourselves. But yet there is recognition in ourselves that once we're bought with a price, we belong to someone else. And Paul said about the churches in Macedonia, Bereans, the Thessalonians, the folks at Philippi. He said about them, they first gave themselves to the Lord. Enriching our lives by giving starts with us saying, I am His. I belong to Him. I'm not my own to do my own thing. I need to give myself to Him for use in His glory. They first gave themselves to the Lord. We could call it many things. There ought to be a time in every Christian's life where the person comes to the place where they say, Lord, I'm yours to do whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to do it, I'm yours. I believe there are many people that are not on the ministry that perhaps in the ministry that should have been, but they never said, I'm yours to do what you want me to do. I believe there are many adults living haphazard Christian lives today, saved but not serving fervently because they never, like the Macedonian said, I'm yours, I give myself to you. It's a good place to be, amen. In the hands of God. Hudson Taylor said about marriage that God reserves the best for those who leave the choice to Him. And in the Christian life, God reserves the best for those who will leave the choice to Him and say, God, I'm yours. Take me and use me. The Macedonian people had set an example to the Corinthian people and to us. They gave themselves to the Lord. Secondly, they gave of themselves to the apostles and the needs of others. They gave of themselves. It's one thing to give ourselves to the Lord, but in giving ourselves to the Lord, then there are flesh and blood that are around us that need what we know about the Lord, and sometimes need what we have from the Lord. And the Apostle Paul said, he says, this is not what we'd hoped necessarily. In other words, the apostles weren't people that were looking for a handout. And they weren't looking to plague people with their needs. But they understood that as these folks received grace from God and gave to others, they themselves would be enriched. You might hear preaching or teaching that would imply that giving is solely for the benefit of the recipients. But it's not. And men of God don't hope that. But on the other hand, the Apostle Paul mentioned how that they gave themselves back to the apostles and to the needs of others. What a wonderful thing. I've known so many Christians through the years, and I have to say there are so many here like that, that give of themselves to the Lord, but also give to the needs of others. There's nothing like it. Give, and it shall be given. There's a book years ago that I heard about called Try Giving Yourself Away. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Sometimes people have said to me, don't you know that that person may be using you, or in this situation you're being used? That's okay. Right? Because I've given myself away. And if somebody wants to use it wrong, that's not on me. That's on them. They gave themselves to the apostles and to the needs of others. But I want you to notice something else about Macedonian people listed here in this passage of Scripture. As an example to the Corinthian people and to us, they gave out of hardship. They gave out of hardship. Some people have the idea, boy, I could give if I was a millionaire. You know what? You'd give just like you do now. They gave out of hardship. People say, boy, if my life was better, I could really serve the Lord. No, you'll serve the Lord when your life is better, just like you do now. They gave out of hardship, out of tough times. You know, it's interesting, the impact of a gift from someone going through tough times seems to be greater than a gift from someone who's blessed with everything. They gave out of hardship. Notice in the verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction. Do you remember what happened in Philippi with the Apostle Paul? Do you remember what happened in some of these areas, how that the Jews would go and persecute the Christians? The Thessalonian people suffered great adversity. You read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and it's alluded to several times how that they suffered great trials. But they gave through the trials. They didn't say, you know what, when everything's better, Lord, I'm going to be a blessing. They were a blessing when things weren't better physically. They gave out of hardship. Number four, they gave out of poverty. They gave out of poverty. Jesus mentioned, and I mentioned this in a message last week, I believe, but just the thought of Jesus mentioning the woman giving two mites when everybody else was pulling out their wallet filled with bills and pitching in a couple dollars. Jesus noticed that she gave of her poverty. She gave all that she had. And as Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, he's saying, listen, you're a lot of things, but this will enrich you. You might be going through tough times, but so are the Macedonian people. They gave out of hardship and gave out of poverty. And notice something else about their example is that they gave liberally or abundantly. It's amazing through the years, the many Christians that I've known that give, and you wonder how in the world they could. And they give abundantly. I think about the projects that our church has gone through, even our finances as a church. And to my knowledge, there's nobody here super wealthy. If you are, let me know. Amen. No, there's nobody super. I wouldn't want to know. But But think of how God has met our needs. I think people have given liberally. It's not a political statement, all right? They've given abundantly, freely, above and beyond. We're so legalistic at times when it comes to our giving. I'll give 10%. Let's see, 10% of $100.10 would be, $10.01. They didn't do that. They said, I don't have much, but boy, I'm going to give everything I possibly can to see to it that the ministry is carried forth, that others hear about the gospel, that these men who are serving, their needs are supplied for so that they can do the work. That's what they did. Above and beyond, out of hardship, from their poverty, giving liberally, first to the Lord, then to others, to fulfill the will of God. The Corinthian people had truly desired in their hearts to give, but had not followed through the action. If you notice in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and if you drop down to verse number 10, it says, herein I give my advice. And let me just interject something there. It would be wonderful if younger Christians would follow the advice of older Christians. Amen. Somebody sent me a little article yesterday that has to do with the church is being led astray by musicians and worship leaders, which is so true, instead of being led and guided by older men of God. This younger generation has the idea that they're brand new. The world didn't begin till they got here. And the rest of us are prehistoric dinosaurs looked upon as exhibition. Just look at exhibits that God's given us. And Paul said, herein I give my advice. It takes humility to follow advice, but it brings blessing. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient, beneficial, expedient for you who have begun before. Now notice what he says about this. You've begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. All right, you began. Here's the person. Okay, Lord, I know I need to give, so I really need to give more. I could be of help in some other areas. I could give more to missions. And they start to, but they don't follow through. They meant it. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever told the Lord that you were going to start doing something? I'm not talking about necessarily giving, but you told the Lord you were going to start doing something, and that's where it ended. Would you raise your hand, please? Okay, my hand's up. It's happened. Someone said the path to failure is paved with good intentions. I told you about the guy in the revival meeting down in Texas. I was newly saved. My wife and I were attending Killeen Baptist Temple. And this big cowboy down in the Killeen area showed up for a revival meeting. I didn't know he was a member of church. We'd been going there for about a year and I'd never met him. And he showed up and he came forward at the end of the revival, the meeting that night, and he wanted to give a testimony. He said, bless God. He said, I'm getting right with God. I've not been in church like I ought to. He said, from here on out, I'm going to be here every service, and I'm going to hogtie people and drag them in if I have to. We never saw him again. I think he meant it, but he didn't do it. I got to lead one of the first people I got to lead to the Lord was a young man by the name of Buddy. He's in the army with me in the back of our radio rig during break time, which was almost all the time when we were in garrison. But during break time, I sat there in that, I can just see it in my mind so clearly, going through the plan of salvation with Buddy. And he prayed, and I told him the sinner's prayer and put his faith in Christ, so on and so forth. And he prayed, but he added something to his prayer. He said, "Dear Lord, please come into my heart, forgive me my sins and save me, and I'll do what you want me to do." I didn't tell him to pray that. He did. And he meant it. But his wife didn't. And he never followed through. They ended up divorced a few years later. He meant it, but didn't do it. And there are people here this morning that said, "You know, Lord, I'm going to give more to missions this year." And you meant it, and you didn't. Or he said, "Lord, I'm going to pass out tracts." And you meant it, but you haven't. Or he said, "I'm going to read my Bible through this year." And you meant it, but you haven't. "I'm going to change some things in my life for the Lord that will make my life count more for Christ." You meant it, but you haven't. And here the Corinthian people meant it in verse number 10, or verse number 10, "Not only do, but also to be forward a year ago." You meant it. Now therefore, verse 11, "perform the doing of it." Follow through. "That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." Paul was trying to get the help the Corinthian people take a step farther in their Christian life. You want to, you meant to, now do it. Love the passage in Scripture relating to anointing David as king. They knew what they ought to. And the prophet said, "Now then, do it." Amen? The kids know you ought to clean your room. Now then, do it. As they abounded in other grace gifts, they will be encouraged now to abound in grace giving. The giving is for deeper and broader, enhancing the Christian life. Not giving just material, but giving of themselves. Grace giving is not only action, it's the nature of the action as well. I've received, and as I've received, I give. Paul's example in ministry is set forward here. The Apostle Paul wasn't braggadocious. Some people would misinterpret him in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, as he talked about, and chapter 11 and 12 talked about the things that he saw and so on and what he'd learned. But you know, it does us good sometimes to hear what other people have learned in the Christian life. Decisions they've made. The Apostle Paul gives this example describing his own ministry in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. He said this, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward." That's a mouthful too. But in that passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul said the testimony of his conscience was how he had served. And one of the phrases was that he had served, and I've preached from that verse alone here before. But one of the phrases was he served in simplicity. In simplicity. Simplicity has to do with a giving nature. The Apostle Paul described his life of service as being done in simplicity. That is, he was giving of himself, of a giving nature. The openness of heart making itself known by generosity. The Lord had helped them enrich their lives by this grace, and the Corinthian people needed it also. And the Berrien County people need it also. The Lord Jesus Christ is also given as an example here in verse 9, where it says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." As I said, I'd like to just go off on that verse alone. But think about it. Jesus laid down his glory in heaven, to take upon him the form of a servant, giving it up, giving all of it up, to be scorned, to be ridiculed, to have no place to dwell. You want to follow me? I lay my head where the foxes do. And he laid down heaven's glory so that we, impoverished by sin, destitute because of sin and its consequences, so that we could be made rich and have all that God offers through Christ for all eternity. Amen. And as Paul is writing to the Corinthian people, he's saying, look, this is the way I've served. This is the way the Macedonian people have met our needs. This is what Jesus Christ did for you. God's people, we have great examples in front of us. Amen? And it comes to where we got to quit thinking, what's in it for me? We've got to start thinking, what do I have that God can use for others? The Lord Jesus gave us that great example. Now let's think about being enriched then by giving. Enriched by giving. When you give something, it's gone, right? Well, enriched by giving, there's a paradox here that's presented of giving. The paradox is this: you give it away, but it brings gain. Now, it's somewhat like an investment, but with an investment, you're not giving it away. You're setting it aside for yourself to gain. But here we see giving presented as a spiritual investment. That as you and I give ourselves to the Lord and of ourselves for the Lord, and as we give even out of hardship and poverty, as we give liberally, what we're doing is we're actually investing by giving, and God blesses with return. I do not like the idea of people being taught, give to get. No, give to give. And it's God's for you to get. And so here's why hold on and hoard what you have if it's not going to bring return? The paradox of giving, it brings gain. You give and you get. You get physically. I've seen that happen. You gain spiritually. You know, I've found that when I've invested something spiritually in something, given time to explain something to someone, I walk away having gained myself. But we also gain eternally. When we give things of an eternal nature, from a spiritual perspective, for the right things, we're giving up something temporally, but we will gain eternally from that. I wish I could get my mind completely into an eternal mindset. I've heard people say, unless they're caught up in some weird ideology, they walk like zombies. The paradox, you give and it brings gain. The promise for giving is that your needs will be met as you give to meet the needs of others. That's a paradox too, isn't it? Material needs being met of others through you results in your own needs ending up being met, enriched through giving. The Macedonian people held up as givers. One of the greatest promises in the Bible was given to those exemplary givers. Philippians 4:19, if you know it, quote it. Ready? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You hear people say, well, God said he'll supply all your needs. Just a minute. God made that promise to the Macedonian people at Philippi, who gave out of their poverty, who gave out of their hardship, who gave of themselves, who gave to the Lord. And God said, Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs to those who had been giving of themselves to meet the needs of others. In fact, if you'd look at it with me, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 14. Philippians 4 and verse 14, please. Notwithstanding, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Philippians 4:14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. The word communicate means sharing and giving. You shared by giving. You communicated with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You gave. You're the only ones that did. You gave out of poverty. You gave out of hardships. You gave of yourselves to us. You met our need. And I want you to know, God shall supply all your need. The promise to enrich is given to those who seek to enrich others. Gain from giving. My God shall supply all your need. Those who've embraced and incorporated the grace of giving will be recipients of God's giving. God gives, that's his grace. We receive, we give out of grace to others, and lo and behold, we still receive. Enriching one's life by giving gives the promise of his own life being enriched as well. Given it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So I encourage you, give yourself to the Lord anew. Preacher, I've drifted away from that mindset. Come back to it. Then give yourself to others. There's someone that's really depending on you and you don't even know it. Give yourself to others. Give of yourself. Don't sit back and wait for someone to do for you. You do for someone else. And give of what you have. Well, I don't have much, but give of what you have. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's a ride for someone. Yesterday, I invited a lady at a restaurant to come to church. She said, well, I don't have a ride. I said, where do you live? And she told me. So next time I go there, I'm going to try to work out to get her a ride. She'd come to church if she had a ride. Amen? And you know what? I found that God blesses us back when we'll go the extra mile. The experience of enrichment comes when we give. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Look at verse 11 of chapter 9. Be enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Now let me quickly share these thoughts. Our manner of giving. How do we do it? Our manner of giving ought to be first purposefully, where we purposefully say, you know what, someone has need and I'm going to do it. Or when it comes to our tithes and offerings, I'm going to purposely set aside what belongs to God. Secondly, it should be done cheerfully. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The word cheerful means hilarious. To enjoy giving to God, giving back, giving of yourself. There's some things that bring joy like no others. One is when you lead a soul to Christ. There is nothing like sitting with someone and you share the gospel and they pray and receive Christ as their Savior. There's nothing like that. Second to that is actually sharing the gospel. That brings joy. And when you give to somebody, and you're doing it not for thanks, not for their praise, there's just joy in your heart. You're enriched, even if it's just with joy, for having shared of yourself with someone else. Give purposefully, give cheerfully. Give thankfully. God, thank you for what you've given me. You've given me something that I can give. Thankfully. God, thank you. Thank you that we want to hear, thank you, you're so wonderful at what you did. And we ought to give and say, God, thank you that I can. Number four, we ought to give proportionally. Jesus praised the widow woman. She gave all that she had. He does not require that of us. He requires proportionate giving. When it comes to our tithes and offerings, the word tithe means a tenth. I quoted Proverbs chapter 3 this morning before our offering. And it says, honor the Lord with thy substance. We take what we have and we honor him. And with the first fruits of thine increase. That's the tithe. We honor God with that. You've heard me say that if every person connected with every Bible-believing local church would do his or her part financially, no local church would suffer. And we can't say, well, we've been blessed, we're doing well, so I'll hold back. We ought to say, you know what? This is between me and God, and I want to give. Because we never know what God wants to use it for. Proportionally. Give as we have prospered, it says in 1 Corinthians. And then lastly, give regularly. The Corinthian people had the concept, but they didn't have the regularity. Do it, you know, okay, I gave my tithe last week. Well, I got paid this week too, right? Well, I went on vacation last week, but I still had income, right? That belongs to the Lord. Be enriched by giving. You know, there's been many times when, you know, the Apostle Paul mentioned here how hard it was. He said, we didn't want to receive it, but you kind of forced us to. And they got the blessing. And many times when I've been on the spot like the Apostle Paul, my wife and I were traveling back Thursday, and we stopped at a Cracker Barrel. It's the new Golden Arches for me. We stopped at a Cracker Barrel. I'm standing there waiting for my wife as she's getting ready to go in and eat. We're standing there, and all of a sudden I hear, Brother Whitman, what are you doing here? I wondered that myself. And I looked, there's a preacher that I know who was 40 miles from his home with his wife and daughter having dinner there. We had gotten discombobulated in our GPS routing. It wasn't GPS, it was God's positioning service this time, to be there at the exact same time. We chatted for a while, and Gail and I went over and, you know, sat at our own table and ate. And pretty soon he comes over, shook our hand, said, "It's good to see you." And then he turned to the waitress and he said, "I want their bill." And we tried to talk him out of it. He wouldn't have anything to do with it. He paid our bill there. It's humbling. But you know what? He's getting a blessing for that. He's getting a blessing for that. I don't know if he had a lot. I don't know if he had a lot of money. I doubt it. But he gave. And you know, there's been times when you and I have done that. And we know it's a blessing to those people, but God also brings the blessing back our way. God's going to do something to bless him. May God help us, all of us, enrich our lives through the spirit and actions of giving. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. I pray that you'd bless it in our lives this morning. And Lord, your word is true. We just engage it and it happens. You always follow through with your promises. The promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. They come through. So Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help every Christian here this morning to be willing to add something that would seem to subtract, but realizing that you promised you'd enrich them through it. Lord, I pray that we would let this grace of giving become a part of our lives as we interact with each other, as we interact with lost people in the world around us. Dear Heavenly Father, if there's someone here that hasn't received the great gift that you've offered through what Jesus Christ gave of himself, if there's someone here that's not saved, may they realize Jesus paid it all so that they could be forgiven of sin, have his righteousness, be saved. Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to the heart. And Father, I pray you'd help each of us as Christians to look to you to help in our lives add those things that glorify you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. First, I'd say, is there anybody here today who would say, "Preacher, I have to be honest. I do not know 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I am saved. I need to be saved. Pray for me." Would you slip up your hand, please? No one else is looking. Would you please get it settled once and for all? How many of God's people here this morning would say, "Preacher, I've been the benefit from other people's giving many times, but by the grace of God, I want others to be benefited by my giving, knowing it'll enrich my life as well. Pray for me." Who'd slip up their hand today? God bless you. Amen. I pray that someone will experience that from you, and you'll experience his enrichment from it. Just a moment, we'll stand together and sing. Maybe there's someone in your heart and mind that needs something from you, and I'm not talking necessarily monetarily or physically. Would you ask God to help you today to give, to add this grace God's given, you've received? God, add to me this dimension, this grace of giving. That I'd not be self-centered, looking to enhance myself, looking to be benefited. I would look to benefit and enhance. God, help me. Would you come and pray something like that this morning? Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless the invitation, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jay.
Number 319. Just as I am without one.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. Lord, I thank you for folks among us that are going to be giving of themselves in this upcoming week, helping out with the missions project. I pray that they'd be a blessing. You'd give them safety as they travel. You'd make them a blessing there in the work project to that church, to our missionary, Brother Mike, and his wife, Peggy Carr. And Lord, that their lives would be enriched as they give this week. I pray for Jessica as she continues to give of herself to minister to these children there in Kosovo. And Lord, I pray that you'd use her, make her a blessing, let her see some fruit, and Lord, enrich her life as she continues to give. I pray for Brother Gilmore, Lord, that you'd continue to enrich his life as he gives himself in ministry, preaching around the country, encouraging churches to serve. Lord, enrich our lives in those things that you want to add. And we'll give you praise as you use us. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed.